Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS network, and we're also broadcasting live on the eSETI Stargate channel as well. So a lot of interesting things happening, and right now we're having technical difficulties. Hopefully we can get this thing through, but it kind of comes with the territory. I noticed we are doing a pre-broadcast. This is on the 23rd, and this is the peak of those energies that were coming through. And so we're right at the peak of this wave of energy that's going through. You usually feel them about 3 or 4 days ahead of time and 3 or 4 days after. So hang on. You know, it's going to be a little wild ride, but it will get easier someday. I don't know when. But anyway, we've got a great guest. We've got Lori McDonald, and she's a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist at True You Hypnotherapy, and an extraterrestrial abduction researcher. She's one of 27 regression therapists listed on the MUFON mental health referral list for abduction regression. She's a support consultant for the research committee Free the Edgar Mitchell Foundation. And she's also a board president of Opus Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support, and is the founder of Sacramento Alien Abduction Contactee Support Group, one of California's largest UFO abduction groups. And she's been a facilitator at several experiencer events as hosted at Contact in the Desert. She's a lifelong experiencer. Her company, True You Hypnotherapy, has been the winner of Sacramento's Best of 4 years running by promoting mind-body integration through one-on-one sessions, empowerment workshops, experiencer group events, and empowerment retreats. She's recently was awarded the Global Health and Pharma GHP Alternative Medicine and Holistic Health Awards in 2018. She's appeared on a number of radio and TV shows, including the Disney Channel, and Lori speaks internationally, along with using the extraterrestrial experience as a catalyst to an expanded consciousness through contact. So without any further ado, Lori, are you with us?
I certainly am.
Welcome to the show. Wow, what a lineup you've got going on there. I know a lot of these people, you know, yeah. Opus and some of the other people there. What's new with you? I mean, God, there's so much going on. I don't even know where to start, but what's new happening with you? And is there any changes in the information coming through now with a lot of the contacts or abductees I don't know if they want to be called abductees. Some people get offended by that, but some people like willing participants. I don't know. But
there's definitely a difference between a contactee and an abductee. You know what? It's all ramped up right now, James. The cases are just, I can't keep up. There's some type of strange energy portal up in Wolf Mountain here. I'm going to be going out to do that. But just let me tell you, it's not Disney Channel. It was Discovery, just so.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
You know, hey.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Disney Channel do some abduction research work, though. But
okay.
So what's happening is right in the middle of some major negotiating for TV. Can't really say too much about it yet till everything else is signed. But there's a lot of interest out there, mainstream America now. The entire genre seems to have piqued the interest. I just got back from China. I spent just a little over a month in China. I had three speaking engagements there. They're interested not only in the phenomena, not only just the UFOs, but the abduction aspect of it too. It was pretty interesting. I mean, I received this anonymous email, and it was all in Mandarin Chinese, and it was 97 years of China UFO sightings and abductions. It also included some video, as well as some cases that had looked like military or army overtones to them. So I get this anonymous email, then I get this strange invitation to speak for an entirely Chinese audience in Geneva, Switzerland. So I went to Geneva and, you know, it was an amazing conference, probably one of the classiest ones I've ever been to, I have to say. And then I get invited to China. Well, as soon as I get there, the government pulls my workshop. Not allowed to speak about it. My workshop was entitled From Fear to Freedom. So I asked, I said, which word is offensive, fear or freedom? But they wouldn't tell me. They have to be very careful in China. Yeah. But they were not. Yeah, it was strange, hostile country. You know, sometimes people would spit at me right in front of my feet on the sidewalk or make a derogatory American comment. And I'm Canadian. Okay,
but yeah.
So yeah, it was strange. Then of course now there's a huge travel ban and Americans and Canadians are restricted because of the political unrest there with China threatening Canada.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of the latest legislation, you know, trying to equal the playing field there. They're getting kind of upset about that, and there's a lot of dissension there. I know I've got connections over there in China, and I was going to go to China like last year, and I've had two or three opportunities, but every time the door opens, it closes again. It's kind of interesting. So, I just put it on the back burner for now.
Yeah. Well, I was offered a long-term, teaching job there, teaching the spiritual enlightenment and I guess mind and body integration. But I've right now, for the time being, I've turned them down. I don't feel it's safe to travel there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad, you know, that people are not, it's that whole thing. The whole race thing just needs to go out the door because, you know, I've been watching these things lately and just the race card is just overplayed, you know, again. Oh. And just going, come on, give us a break. You know, this has nothing to do with race. This is all about, you know, getting rid of somebody for power, basically. You know,
absolutely. And I just really wanted to get into those Chinese pyramids that are outside of Xi'an and look at the extraterrestrial connection there. But there were things that just weren't possible. Even staying a month, like, wasn't able to.
Yeah. I've got some connections there that when I do come over or go over to China, I will have access to all that. So, you know, that was kind of the deal. And they're kind of like the highest level connection. So they can't really interfere with that one. But it'll be interesting when but that's one thing I do. I wanted to check out the pyramids and, you know, and see what's happening over there. I know you do a lot of counseling work. Have you noticed a change in the type of abductions? I know in the past, like in, you know, quite a while ago, they were very scary, you know, and very aggressive and very, you know, kind of really freak people out. But it seems like the nature of abductions have changed. Have you noticed that?
Well, it's not an abduction anymore once the person has stepped into their sovereignty or their personal empowerment and no longer experience fear. You know, once it's fear, the playing field's a little bit more leveled, and the person at that point is entering into some sort of a conscious exchange or agreement. But prior to that, when a person's taken against their will, certainly they're terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could you not be? Just having something come into your room, say in the middle of the night, in the dark, you're startled, heart rate is up, you're absolutely freaked out whether or not you experience the paralysis. So there was a time, certainly in the 80s, in the early 90s, where a lot of the abduction was the grays, and then we started seeing more of a relationship form with such beings as Arcturian and Pleiadian and so forth. Of course, the danger there is that the reptilian race can shapeshift. And we do know that they work with the grays. And so how is one really to determine whether or not you're not looking, you know, eye to eye into a Pleiadian, but it's actually, a reptilian. So there's protocol. And there's a certain amount of human development that's necessary in entering any of these relationships because we risk being manipulated. We don't have the access to our full intellect, nor do we have access to our full memory, at least not always consciously. I realize some people do have some access. But yeah, it's tricky.
Well, I know what I go by is the feeling, you know, what it feels like. And if I feel like that love and bliss energy or a very advanced being, you know, I hang out, you know. And if I start feeling, if I don't feel that and I start hearing manipulating messages or messages like you're the chosen one or all that other stuff, you know, it's like, you know, they always want to separate you, like tell you you're special and you're this and you're that. And, you know, I just use universal law. As long as they're aligned with universal law and it's not harmful and it's beneficial, then, you know, I'll have a conversation with them. As soon as it starts going off in a different direction, I just cut it off.
Yeah, that's absolutely the right thing to do, is to be able to trust your own energy. And if so, of course, that type of a contact relationship can be positive. But now there's a case that I'm working currently. And it really reminded me of the energies on the ranch there. I mean, except perhaps they're not quite as positive. But apparently there's a portal or a stargate on this property and quite a bit of increased activity. The Indians on that land, that were on that land, considered it sacred, but still never went on it. I just heard, although I haven't confirmed this yet, but heard that Anton LaVey had just purchased all the property surrounding it, the one land where the Stargate is, trying to get closer to the property. I'll be going up there in about a week and a half to check it out. But, you know, what they're experiencing is really quite a combination. They actually saw some type of energy opening, even looked like a couple of beings on either side of it. And the impression that the experiencer had was that the beings on either side of this portal were not allowing entities to come through, that they said literally throwing them back through while other ones were coming out. Some they thought, you know, were very extraterrestrial, while others looked somewhat elemental. I believe they said gnomish.
Yeah, that's interesting. We just took some, Kathy here just took some photographs that are just unbelievable. And one right over Lemurian Hill, you know, where that meditation spot is. Mm-hmm. And there's this giant gate opens up and it's just incredible. The energy coming off of that, the gold and the different colors that are coming off of that when it opens up is just phenomenal. And then she got another picture towards my place. Of a similar thing, looked like two giant portals, but they looked extremely high dimensional, like you know, coming from the seventh dimension or something, the plane of bliss type portals. But the same energy appeared when right before Kuan Yin appeared, and similar energy appeared before Mary appeared, before we got the Mary photo. But it was more of a blue portal that opened when Mary came, but this one, boy, the energy is just phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah, they did describe this as when it began to look like it was opening, that it was in tones of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so, you know, there very well could be one there. There's just a lot of activity, although what they're experiencing is still frightening, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's negative. It just means that the, you know, experiencer is still processing and adapting their reality to whether or not it can allow the existence of a non-human. So they're going through a little personal growth change here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, where's this? Do you mind telling, or would it be better just not to tell where this is located?
I'll tell you, it's in the Wolf Mountains.
And where are the Wolf Mountains? I'm not sure where those are.
California.
Oh, in California.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think there's going to be. I've been really getting information about California, and And it's a very strong warning, basically. I hate to say it, but about how there has to be a major, purification there, and especially in the political arena and things like that, and what's going on there. But it's drawing energy, it's drawing nature's cleanup energy. And so anyway, that's what they've been telling me, that they have to, shift the energy there and bring a lot more spiritual energy in there to avoid some upcoming changes. But anyway, that's it's funny because I used to live in California. I used to have visions like crazy there of upcoming events in California, and so far they've all manifested, which is kind of spooky.
Well, the big fires that we had in Paradise, I'm sure you and many of your listeners are very familiar with the extraterrestrial integration in the Paradise area. I believe David Wilcox had talked about it maybe 10 years ago, as far back as 10 years ago. The residents of that area often said that other residents seemed literally alien, and that was the story. But had a witness on a plane see a beam come from another plane that they believe started the fire, and it really did sound like some type of direct energy weapon. So I don't know who's responsible or what's happening there about that, but it seems to me that it's quite the coincidence to have it in a hot spot area where ETs are supposed to have integrated into our society.
Yeah, there seems to be what I understand and what they've told me is like the Pleiadians, the spiritually and technologically advanced ones, are actually meeting with all the world leaders, and they're getting on board, and they know some shifts are coming up, especially in about, over the next years, up to about 26 or 27 years, that we're going to need a lot of help with this to get through. And it's like the sun doing a nova and other things, other energetic things going on. And so when I tell people that, and I've talked with some of these, I can't really say who, I have to leave that one out of the interview. But when I tell people all the stuff they're seeing in the news and everything else, like the world leaders are all going to fire nukes any minute on each other and things like, is nonsense, because they're all working together, in conjunction with these more benevolent beings to turn the planet around. And but there's another group that would really wants to maintain control here. And like we were talking about earlier, the reptilians and some of the negative grays and some of the there's beings that are unseen, like serpent beings, things like that. They're very anchored in, and they're all part of that whole satanic network thing, and they want to maintain control. So that might have been a little power struggle there going on between the benevolent ones trying to turn the planet around, and liberate the planet, and then the other ones that are trying to just suppress it and put it down.
Think it was a warning to some specific ETs. That's what that fire was. That was a warning. Yeah, so certainly things are amping up on the planet. So many different energies. Certainly my website is just blowing up. My emails are flooded. I'm a good sometimes 5 days behind, and that's with two other people trying to help me return them. And everybody's got stories. I mean, I was sitting here not 2 minutes ago, and I saw a blink on my phone, and somebody's left like on my visual voicemail like three paragraphs of an incident that just happened to them. And so it's absolutely ramped up, but the activity is shifting. I think as the humans begin to step a little bit more into their personal power and can handle the fear, it's really one small step to get through that, but many people are struggling with it. But the ones that haven't are beginning to change. They're shifting into a higher consciousness. And I think with collective conscious energy, us with perhaps some help from the ETs. I mean, I know there are multiple races that have been coming here, and there's a struggle for really whose planet it is. Well, whose planet it is belongs to no one. Everyone. You know, it's no one and everyone. That's whose planet it is. And so obviously there are steps that need to be taken towards peace. But not just on a, it can't happen on a grand scale until it happens on the lower personal scale. You know, I've told you before, I look around and I see the people are like the walking wounded. So many of them are not doing their work, not, you know, really checking in to see if they're living an authentic life. So many people suffering from just self-esteem issues and lack of confidence, that small things like that can be huge detriments in the unfolding of a person. They can block enormous positive energies, and such things like that are from maybe personal wounds or whatever it is. But all of these things are being brought into the light now, and it's our opportunity to kind of clean house and decide where we want to go.
Yeah, I don't think it's optionally more with these waves of energy. They keep telling me that there's these waves of energy coming through, and they're exponential in nature. They're getting stronger and stronger, and they're bringing everything up and collapsing everything that's not frequency specific or anything that's not evolving, you know, especially considering, you know, universal law. And so the dark hearts are the guys that are really dense in consciousness, the global elite, whatever you want to call them, are focused on, you know, unbridled greed and control. They want to dominate and control everything. And they are not frequency specific to these energies coming through, and they're really having a hard time. And all they gotta do is let go and just say, okay, I had my run, you know, now I'm going to get with the program and start working towards the awakening healing process, shift my energy and assets that way. You know, and a lot of forgiveness will come to them in that direction. But there's so many of them that are so locked into their I'm special program, and everybody else is there for my purpose, you know, and the separation game. I just think there's some of them that are going to take it all the way down to the total collapse for them. You know, that's their choice.
It is, I suppose. It's a sad thing. But, you know, the ETs that are interacting with humans, they're not going to stop. You know, that's one of the things that people have to look at. This phenomena has been happening for literally thousands of years.
Yeah.
So we can keep segregated, some living, you know, under the ocean, under the earth, or in a mountain, us on top, you know, some in the etheric, some above, perhaps in a craft. You know, there is a time where we can collectively accept the differences and begin to see what could really happen here. I mean, one of the experiences that I've worked with now, I want to say about 4 years or so, I've done a case study on him. Because he was, the ETs told him, they seemed mantis and other forms of ET, but they did the same thing, telling him how special he was, that he was chosen, that he had this, you know, unique DNA. Okay, well, it turns out their blood, there's only 45 people in, or 47 people on the planet or something that have this particular blood type. So maybe there was something to that, but what he's working on are what he gets from the ETs are numbers and equations, the magic square fundamental numbers that have made all types of algorithms in math, that you can see how pyramids and other structures are created using cubes and magic numbers. So, I mean, some of the stuff that people bring back from the ETs is phenomenal, but it never gets out into, you know, the mainstream, because there are still that, you know, those people who think everybody who has said anything at all about ETs are crazy.
Oh yeah. Well, they hoard the knowledge too, that the you know, the people that really in the know, you know, and they hear that information that they're really interested in it, you know, especially the, and we've had every agency you can imagine out here checking it out. And we have constant flyovers of black helicopters and F-16s and things like that. And, you know, to go along with the activity. But, you know, they're extremely interested in it. They're trying to figure out who's who we're contacting. And especially if any technology is exchanged, they're going to be all over that. Even Art Bell said that, bless his soul. When, you know, he said, you know, somebody gave him some ET parts, you know, and he said, I should have never accepted these. You know, he said, all hell broke loose, knocks on the door and everything. So, you know, people go, do you have proof? You know, do you have a laser gun or something like that? And I said, you know, if I had something like that, you know, they'd be driving right through my gate and not even knocking on my door. But a lot of times you don't want that kind of evidence. And, you know, to me, I'm not out to prove anything either. It's like, here, we're just sharing information. So if you need proof, you know, go for it. But probably the worst thing you'd ever want to do is have any kind of ET parts, you know, in your house or anywhere near you.
Well, I believe there's a law that says it's illegal to try to contact extraterrestrial beings. Some obscure.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Just to know the number of it and everything, and it's against the law to have contact with them and interact with them in any way whatsoever and everything else. But the problem is, they can't really enforce that law because then they'd have to say ETs are real. And so it's a catch 22. Yeah, they can write a law about it, but they're saying ETs don't exist and it's your imagination. So that would blow that out of the water if they arrested you for having contact, you know, with an ET. So they can't really enforce that because then that screws their own narrative.
Well, and luckily there is that word abduction because that is against your will. So it's not like you went out to do it. It's not really your fault, right? It's a very, very, very strange thing, for them to have a law, but then not to admit it. But we're kind of in a soft disclosure right now with the Pentagon releasing that video, whether it's authentic or not, they released it. The inside of the jet looking like it was chasing a UFO. So that's a bit of a soft disclosure. And so maybe we're headed to a larger disclosure, but they'll have to change some of those contact laws.
You have to, I don't know, have you seen the uncontrolled narrative yet? The video we just put out?
No, I haven't seen that
yet. It's on the site. It's on the eSETI site. It's free. And then we put Contact Has Begun 2 is out now, too. And those two cover all that. And it's got quite a lineup in there talking about what's been going down and on why we're, you know, the whole thing about, you know, everybody goes, well, why is it stalled? You know, why has it not gone anywhere? You know, the only thing we have proved is that ships are real, you know, and there are ETs. That's as far as it's gone, you know. Go, well, what about, okay, who are they, who are on the ships, what's their nature, you know, what's their culture like, you know, what kind of technology do they have, how do their ships operate, you know? It's and it's just stalled out, you know, and just, you just go, God, when are they going to just, you know, really bring out the real information? And most of the spiritually and technologically advanced beings, they have the same message that almost every master teacher on the earth has given us, you know, it's all about cleaning up your consciousness and being kind to each other and the planet. It's pretty basic knowledge.
Yeah, it is. It's very simple in nature, but sometimes what's simple isn't easy for some people, although it should be.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is often the same message, and that's kind of, you know, in my research, I try to stay really objective with the people receiving downloaded information. Again, I have to be clear and say, well, we don't know where that information is coming from. We have our own technology through psychotronics or voice to skull communications.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you know that it's an ET giving you some information?
You know, I agree with that. You know, the voice to skull program there, I know the military, and there's people that have talked about their experiences, and you know, they'll hear a car coming up the road, the gravel or something like that, and the next thing everybody goes out, and they have a thing called a delta wave, you know, emitter that just puts you out. Mm-hmm. You can't wake up until they turn it off. And then they can do the voice to skull or the computer to skull program, and they can make you think, you know, that you're hearing the voice of God, that you've had a contact. They can run any program they want, and you wouldn't know whether it was real or unreal because it happened inside your own brain. And that people have to realize that technology does exist. And if they do have an agenda, you know, they can use that technology. And a lot of people, not just in ignorance, are part of those programs and don't even realize they're being used.
Absolutely. And so not everybody that comes to me for a regression session or consultation who thinks they've been abducted actually have. You know, some people are suffering from other type of auditory hallucinations that come from an external source that may not be ET. And of course, some people are ill. Some people are on drugs, and I've had put many clients into rehab, and I have to be straight up and say, no, that is a hallucination and sounds like a drug induced hallucination. And then they admit their drug use, and then we can get them the help that they need. But unfortunately, all of that stuff is associated with the extraterrestrial. And so there's lots of things to weed through, like the voice to skull, like natural illnesses. But for those cases where they're just so clear that something is happening and the experiencer so honest, so eager to express everything that they know, looking for help, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why then aren't the ETs, when they see the emotional trauma that they can cause the experiencer, you know, whether it's good or bad, even the very blissful contact can create what is like an awestruck.
Yeah.
And you're dumbfounded.
Yeah, and they don't want that. That's the last thing. I know the spiritually and technologically advanced ones, they've made it very clear. They said, look, we're not your God. We're not your guru. We're your elder brothers and sisters, you know, we're, you know, kind of overseers, and we want to kind of redirect humanity into a more positive place. And they've always made that clear. And, you know, there's been in the past, I mean, you look at all the religions and their bearded gods, you know, those were all Anunnakis, you know, and some of them behaved very benevolent and some were very malevolent, you know, and very controlling. And you know, the jealous, wrathful gods, that's where that came from. But, you know, people need to really know their ancient history. And I think it's so important to develop your own inner sensitivity, you know, and maintain your own self-authority. There's tools to do that. Learn how to heal unseen negative influences. And at the same time, you know, always, you know, use discernment no matter what.
Yeah, and I did like what you said about really how you feel, you know, checking in, if you can practice some equanimity, being calm during what may appear to be a chaotic paranormal or extraterrestrial experience. If you can be calm and strong and begin to perceive the truer emotion, you may be able to open yourself up to some higher consciousness contact. And for me, I want them to call me by my name. You know, when I hear Lori, I know then that I'm being respected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the difference for me. When they call me by my name, they actually ask my permission. You know, are you yeah, open to that sort of thing? And so maybe they treat me with kid gloves a little bit, and maybe that's the way I want it. You know, so yeah, that's kind of the way I like it, because I've had my own eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact with grays.
Yeah. I've
seen a reptilian also. And sadly, yesterday I had a strange debate with a priest over the Anunnaki, and some Mesopotamian script at a Starbucks, and he literally ran out the door. So I know, I'm like, oh my God, I just scared a priest. Well, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, so he was quoting scripture, and I said, well, hang on a second there. You know, what you're using is several thousand years older than you think, and it's coming from either Samaria or a Mesopotamian script, or it's a bleed through of some Gnostic teachings, and it's not what you think. And any script that says, I'm a jealous God, okay, red flag. Who a God is jealous and then says, I'm the only God? Well, you know, we've got some narcissistic issues going on there.
Well, to me too, anytime you have an image or a being appearing to you, that is saying I'm the only God, right there, because really, when you, I mean, I think you might have you had some near-death experiences too? I'm not sure if you have,
You know,
but.
I've had an experience that was very much like a near-death experience, except for the death part. It just happened while I was alive.
Oh, okay. Well, I've had my own experience, and I've sat in front of, I went to that plane of bliss, and beings would appear to me, and they would take a form, that's just for my benefit, I guess. And it was just like, I go, wow, I just realized, the source is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness, on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse, and we access that from within, in greater states of expanded awareness. But the when I read about the ancient history and these guys, it's like Earth was the ultimate bed and breakfast. You just drop in, use your technology, do a few tricks. They revere you as gods, and they give you their fatted calves and their daughters, and you have a good old time,
You
And
know,
that's seemed to be what was going on in ancient history.
absolutely, total manipulation in any way. How can somebody say, I'm the only God and a jealous? Well, who are you jealous of then? How can you be jealous of another God if there's not another God? I mean, none of it, a lot of it was nonsensical, is what I had noticed as a kid, which kind of got me reprimanded a few times in Sunday school. But I was a little detail-oriented child and listened to every single word that adults told me, and I had discernment. And so, and hopefully, I still have some. But for me, it's really they need to call me by my name, and I need to feel that there's some respect there, even though there are times where I feel very aware that they're certainly over my head. And as far as the cosmos go, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm just sort of in the kindergarten of the cosmic awareness, because because there's still I still have that innocence about it, and I do see or sense sort of the negative ones. I think what happens, James, is once you begin to have any experiences, you're opened up, or your frequency is increased enough that your awareness is open to all types of other paranormal activity. So myself, I've had sort of a strange experience recently where I woke up, but there was like five windows in my bedroom, and one of the windows had a curtain that was wrong. And thought, well, everything's exactly right. I kind of scanned my bedroom, except this one drape. And then I sort of felt myself being forced back to sleep. And I woke up again after really waking up, feeling just like I do right this moment, very much awake. And then everything was back the way it should be. And I thought, wow, I mean, my consciousness, something really felt like I woke up in a parallel universe where things were just slightly different.
Oh,
And
yeah,
so,
there's so much going on like that. People, I always tell people contact comes with enlightenment, and it's more of an enlightenment experience. It's not necessarily a religious experience, but it could fit within a religious experience, and then people will package it, in something that they can understand. A lot of people are having contact with Palladians, and they think they're angels, and they could be you know, having the other way around too. They could be thinking they're talking to angels, and it could be another being with another agenda. So I think it's tricky, you know, to maintain your self-authority and, you know, especially with the grays too, because a lot of the grays don't have emotions. And so they don't know about the trauma that they're creating. You know, they're just experimenting. They're doing whatever they're told basically. And they don't understand why, you know, everybody's flipping out and freaking out until they got the hybrids going. And then, you know, all of a sudden the hybrids had emotions, and that was a real mess, you know, for them to handle after that.
You know, James, when I was at the ranch, I had an experience. I didn't talk about it to anybody while I was there. One afternoon, I decided to have a nap, like totally not something I do. I'm not a napper, hardly sleep at all. and I went and had a nap in the house, and I felt like I woke up in sort of a little examining room, and I remember a white lab coat, somebody handing me something, and I made a bit of a joke, and I said, "You want me to put that where?" And she turned and looked at me, and she seemed like a hybrid. She did have a lab coat on, like you would see in a regular doctor's office, but she clearly had the eyes of a gray. But wow. sort of that haircut. She had thinner hair, dark black, bangs, and straight hair, kind of Cleopatra, you know, the Hollywood Cleopatra hair.
Yeah.
As I focused in on, like, thinking in the back of my mind or the front of my mind, I couldn't tell. But I felt a heaviness in the back of my mind, and I was thinking, she's a hybrid. And as I was thinking that, it's like she morphed and began to change into more of a humanoid. And I woke up with a start looking around the room going, oh, wow. They say stuff happens at the ranch. This wasn't what I was expecting. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. It was far too lucid for me to put into a dream category. Mm-hmm. Very, very strange experience there on the ranch for me. Of course, when we were out in the viewing area near the Stargate, the one night there was multiple UFO action, if that's what you want to say, on the mountain there. I've seen a lot of things for a lot of years, but what we saw that night was really quite spectacular.
Yeah, I've seen some interesting ones. I've seen them do a lot of medical procedures here, you know, with people, and it's been beneficial. I really don't work with those guys, but every once in a while, they you know, you never know. People have agreements when they already have contact. They have agreements and things like that, and they come here, and things happen. But I haven't seen anything negative. You know, if it is negative, it's taken out by the benevolent ones, most likely.
And I didn't feel that it was negative, even though it was a gray hybrid. What occurred to me was I had had my gray experience, which was negative back, it was like 91 or something like that. I've come full circle since, of course, but initially it was quite frightening. And the two smaller grays, I was totally lucid, and I don't think their delta manipulation was working, because I did sense the presence of more of the sort of plasma-like ones behind me. I felt like I was being assisted. And then a taller gray came, and I tried to kick it. Anyway, the next morning, I had to go to the doctor, and that kick ripped the muscles, and I was herniated in my lower left abdominal muscle. And I've had it surgery, and I've had a mesh implant there. And for years after, I was like, you know what, that's BS. Those grays did this. I paid the bill, and some type of restitution here is required. I think what they did was wrong. They violated my rights. I'm hurt. And maybe they fixed it on the ranch. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of times that happens. It's really interesting because You know, I've had encounters with the tall grays, and they weren't pretty. They weren't fun tickets. And one time I was doing a vision quest, and all of a sudden I just felt this morbid energy pressing in on me, like the kind of feeling like you're going to die in the next moment.
Mm-hmm. And,
it was the most, I just can't even explain it. It was the worst energy I've ever experienced. And I broke it. I said, not mine. I go, this is not mine. And I sat up and I said, I'm not buying into this. This is not mine. And it was also almost like something inside of me was telling me, you know, there's danger. You're going to be killed or something, you know, like a bear is going to eat you. Wow. And then he's standing right outside your tent or something like that. It was that kind of energy. But I just said, not mine. And I broke it and I sat up, and here's this tall gray standing right in front of my tent, you know. So anyway, I shifted in my energy from breaking that to like, what the hell is going on? And when I saw this tall gray and I knew he was the reason for this, it was funny. I jumped up and I went after it. I was angry at what it did, you know, kind of. And I go, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. And its eyes, it looked at me really weird, and it backed up and it just vanished, you know, it disappeared. But I think it was shocked that I could break its program, you know, that I could break the mind
totally,
link or whatever.
Yeah, I absolutely know what you're talking about, because that's what it was like with the two little ones. I was completely conscious and lucid, and I realized that perhaps I wasn't supposed to be, because they kind of tilted their heads like they looked towards each other slightly, and I know that they communicated over my head. I missed whatever telepathy was happening, because sort of a white light peeled open and a taller gray walked out. And I was still actually quite cool, not afraid at all, really.
Yeah.
But then I saw as it literally advanced, as it advanced towards me, it was like liquid fear just ran through my veins, and an adrenaline burst, and I tried to do a round. I pushed myself up from a sitting position on the bed, and in the same motion tried to do like a roundhouse into the side of its head, because it seemed like there was a needle in its hand that looked to be the length of, I always say, a chopstick. That's how long it looked. In its hand, the fingers, it just, whatever was repulsed and terrified all at once. And so, but, you know, now I don't think that I would act that way. And nor do I think that they would either, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think a lot of that experimentation has kind of gotten the no vote, you know, with the higher dimensional beings, and they're stopping that and kicking them out, you know, for those programs. I know when I came out of the tent, my friend I was up there with, he was in his tent, and he was like going, no, no, it was like screaming like this. And I saw the gray standing next to his door too. And I ran up, I was running up to it, and it turned around and looked at me, and it just vanished. I mean, I think they're shocked, you know, they're going, what the hell just happened? You know, our mind meld isn't working or something. But The energy, like you were saying, that liquid fear or whatever else, I have no patience for those guys whatsoever. And I know some of the benevolent ones have actually toasted them in the sky. They've come over the ranch, and there's been a big blue flash of energy, and their ships just turned into powder. You know, it's like there's nothing. Wow. There's no parts left. It's the whole, everything is just completely dematerialized. You know, there's just a little puff of powder up there, and that's it, you know. But I think the benevolent ones have had enough, and you know, somebody sent me, I can't remember who sent me this, it just cracked me up, but it was a meme, you know, one of those memes. Mm-hmm. And it had UFO on it, I can't remember what it was, they were saying, you know, the benevolent ETs were watching upon us with loving amusement, and now they're saying, holy crap, we need to get down there and do something. And and I think that's where we're at right now. They've realized they have to, you know, it's got to be hands on now to turn this planet around, or it's, you know, we're going to end up losing everything.
I agree, and I've been working on a program. I wrote like 5 steps to personal peace and empowerment, and it really sort of cleans the full chakra system of the human. It allows them to overcome and to really step into a higher self, a higher truth. It's what people want to be anyway. There's so much potential that they've sensed it. They just haven't had the ability to tap into it yet for whatever reason. But I think that with these 5 steps, you can self-correct. You can correct the energy that allows us to dip into the lower places of insecurity or jealousy or even, outrage and anger. It's just crazy the way people have no emotional control. So really, what are they lacking is the ability to ground themselves, to self-soothe, to self-love. And I believe that when we can get to that place of full-on self-acceptance, we're so much less harsh and judgmental with others because we see that our own self is comprised of so many aspects of the psyche, different components, not all good, not all mature, but as we accept them for integration into a truer, better self, we can get there. But I'm trying to write a program. I'm sure there are many out there. We can just get people to do it.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many things going on that, especially, being in that reactionary mind, it's so easy to control you, and people have no idea how much they are controlled, by the lamestream media and all the other things going on. And I think that's the first step, is to realize that you have been totally controlled. And the second step is, do you have any personal experience with your belief? Where does your belief system come from? Does it come from personal experience, or somebody else giving it to you? And then go
Right.
on.
I like to say, is it thought or was it taught?
And also too, it's like, is it true? It's like, I think it was Byron Katie had a system down that I really liked that, and people would get back to it and go, wow, I've been just mind screwing myself here, when they get back to basics. But we're coming up to the end of the hour. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Probably the best way is my website, trueyouhypnotherapy.com. Really, if you just put my name into any search engine, you'll be able to contact me.
Great. And I know we're having the same thing here. My phone, when it works, is ringing off the hook, and we're also having the same thing. We've been closed. We closed for the winter just because it's just too rough to keep things open, with the
Sure.
weather up here and all the snow and everything. But I'm already, people are just calling like crazy and just saying, I need help. And we're trying to help some of them, as they come up, if they're in dire straits or something. But I think I'm going to open things up early just to help people, just because of that. There's so many shifts and so much energy coming in, and people are on the edge right now. And I guess that's the whole goal, is to get as many people as we can, over that hump, over the
A
edge.
little crisis control workshop,
Yeah.
that's kind of what's needed right now. I find I'm doing a lot of crisis control, but certainly that's a wonderful thing to do. And yeah, I couldn't imagine the ranch being open through the winter. It's got to be harsh.
Yeah. I love what, Michal led with. He's used to be an advisor to the Pope, and I used to like what he said. He said, he'd go up to people and he'd ask people, how's life going for you? And everybody goes, oh, everything is perfect. Everything is great. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And they go, why is that? And he goes, because, you need a little chaos for evolution. It's like, chaos is good, basically. So, and
He
I've seen
stole
now.
that from Freud. Yes, he did. He got
Oh,
that
did
from
he?
Sigmund Freud used to walk to his office every day and say to the guy sweeping up front of his shop, "How's everything? It's good, good." And Freud would say, "Ah, oh, I'm sorry to hear that."
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and keep up this great work. And we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, James. It was wonderful being here.
All right. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Some crazy stuff going down. The bottom line is just keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and that'll get you through. And we need to be brutally honest with ourselves. You know, we don't need to always be right, and we need to learn to listen. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.